Hello everyone, welcome to the City of Melbourne here for Council Meeting number 3 on Tuesday the 23rd of February 2021. We are kicking off at 5:30 p.m. I'd like to welcome councillors, management and members of the public. Thank you for attending this evening's meeting. The City of Melbourne respectfully acknowledges the traditional custodians of the land on which our city is gathered, the Bunurong, Boonwurrung and the Woiwurrung Wurundjeri people of the Eastern Kulin Nation, and pay our respects to their elders past and present. We are committed to our reconciliation journey because at its heart, reconciliation between Aboriginal and non-Aboriginal peoples brings benefit to City of Melbourne and Victoria. As part of our efforts to contain the spread of COVID-19 and pursuant to provisions 394 and 395 of the Local Government Act 2020, council and committee meetings will be held virtually until further notice. During the period 1 May 2020 to 26 April 2021, councils do not need to provide for members of the public to physically attend meetings. Providing public access via live streamed services satisfies the public attendance test during that prescribed period. This meeting is being streamed live and the audio and video recording will be published on the City of Melbourne website by close of business tomorrow. The unconfirmed minutes of this meeting will also be made available on the City of Melbourne's website as soon as practicable. Could we all please check our mobile phones be turned to off or to silent for the duration of this meeting? I note for tonight that the agenda comprises one report from committee and 10 reports from management, four of which are confidential. Councillors, if anyone here has either a general or material conflict of interest as defined in the Local Government Act 2020 in relation to a matter to be considered by Council, can you please disclose the type and nature of your interest prior to consideration of that item? Thank you very much. Councillors, time for you to help me. I'm calling on a councillor to move a resolution adopting the minutes of the open part of council meeting number 2 that was held on 15 December 2020. Councillor Campbell, thank you. Seconded by the Deputy Lord Mayor. Thank you. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried and we're underway. Thank you. Councillors, any matters arising from those minutes that you would like to discuss at this point? None, thank you. The following submission has been received in accordance with the Council's governance rules in relation to agenda item 6.2, which is the Melbourne City Recovery Fund. We had an item of correspondence from Chris Thrum. Does any councillor wish at this point to discuss the confidential status of the items listed as happening in our confidential meeting this evening? No, thank you very much. There is one report from committee for consideration in the open session this evening. It's 5.1, Community Engagement Policy. The purpose of this report is to recommend that Council endorses the community engagement policy. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, thank you very much. Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion that you can see there on the screen. Thank you, Councillor Ball, and a councillor to second the motion. Thanks, Councillor Hakim. Over to you as the mover, Councillor Ball. Thank you.
Thank you. I wasn't planning to speak to the motion because we have discussed it extensively before in public and other fora, and I commend it to all councillors. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Ball. Councillor Hakim, would you like to speak to the motion?
No, I second this motion and happy for it to be adopted.
Thank you. Any other speakers to this motion this evening? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Motion carried unanimously. Thanks, councillors. Well, that concludes reports from committee to be considered this evening. In open session, there are 6 reports from management to be considered in the open session. The first item there is item 6.1, which is the City Economy Advisory Board. Councillors, would anyone like a presentation on this item? Thank you. Then I'm going to call on a councillor to move the motion. Councillor Campbell, thank you, and a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Deutsch, thank you. Over to you, Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Lord Mayor, as we all know, the economic challenges posed by COVID were unprecedented and have been unparalleled, and they required a coordinated, intense effort to provide the response that was needed. The City of Melbourne did that by establishing the City Economy Advisory Board. It was established to deal with many challenges facing so many aspects of our city, from bringing people back, how to reactivate the city, how to retain its vibrancy as a knowledge city, and to develop our economic strategy moving forward. And it provided a coordinated body between government and industry that allowed us to coordinate our response to this crisis, provided us with an ability to have a direct dialogue with government, and perhaps most importantly, shaped our initiatives to rise to the challenge of COVID. And of the many challenges, one of the greatest was how to recover from COVID. And an initiative that came out of this group was the $100 million Melbourne City Recovery Fund that has been delivered by the City of Melbourne in combination with the state government. Many of us here today and many of the people watching will be aware of some of the things that came out of that recovery fund, but I wanted to very briefly touch on a few that have assisted our businesses in their very slow journey to recovery. They include reducing red tape on our businesses so they can spend more time getting back to business and less time dealing with issues such as fees and licences, implementing an extensive outdoor dining program that's seen across our city, including 200 parklets, and expanding our bike lane program with a drastic rollout that has meant we've been able to deliver it as quickly as possible. We've been able to see the benefits of that bike lane already, and anyone who's come into the city, and if you haven't, I encourage people to do so, will be able to have a COVID-safe way to travel in and out of our city thanks to the delivery of that program. But we know that the economic challenges of COVID are not going to disappear overnight and that our work is only just beginning. The magnitude of this economic crisis cannot be underestimated. As at the 2nd of January, there were 13.1% fewer jobs in the City of Melbourne. And we know from that that Melbourne has been hit so much harder than the rest of this state's economy, while for that same period for Victoria as a whole, there are only 7.7% fewer jobs. So we will take the recommendations from this committee, we will use them to develop the city's economic development strategy, and that will be finalised in June 2021. But as we enter into this stage of COVID recovery, it's the appropriate time to conclude the work of our advisory board subcommittees. It's appropriate to continue the work of our City Recovery Task Force, and to importantly thank all of those subcommittee members who provided us with their expertise, knowledge and time to assist in our response and recovery effort. For those reasons, I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Councillor Deutsch, over to you as seconder.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Yeah, following on from what Councillor Campbell said, the City Economy Advisory Board, established back in August last year, was a fantastic example of bringing together key stakeholders who all had a common goal, which was, you know, essentially guiding Melbourne's city economy and city activation through what was essentially the second wave and into the COVID normal world we live in now. So they did a fantastic work, and especially fantastic work done to each of the chairs of those subcommittees. I don't think a single person who was chairing either of those subcommittees, or any of those subcommittees, didn't have any other work that they could have been doing or wouldn't have been busy with plenty of other things. So I want to say a very big thank you to them, and a very big thank you to all the ancillary staff who would have been working hard with them and supporting them throughout that time. There's often many, many people who don't get their names on fancy pieces of paper or, you know, briefing papers like we get. So I want to make sure that they're all recognised for the work that they did. So thank you very much.
Thanks, Councillor Deutsch. Councillors, are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I agree with the mover and the seconder. Thank you, Councillor Campbell and Deutsch, for contextualising that for us. Thank you to the CEO for establishing this structure. I think these subcommittees have served the city well, and I want to join in others in thanking everyone who has contributed to that shared purpose and objective of finding some strong recommendations and policy to help the city recover. This is such important work, and drawing on expertise from near and far has been a really important part of doing that. So to everyone who has contributed so much time and effort, I do want to say thank you. It would be remiss of me not to comment on a couple of the recommendations, given that so many of them go into some of the hot debates that we're talking about at the moment of the City of Melbourne, especially in the planning space. The caveat on this, of course, is that the subcommittee recommendations are not necessarily City of Melbourne policy. We'll digest them all, and the City of the Future Task Force is doing excellent work to consider these and to consider how the city's policies for the future, the four-year plan, the various 10-year plans that we have, can adopt as much of this as possible. My word of caution, I suppose, would be that whilst I agree with the overwhelming majority of the recommendations of the Economic Infrastructure Subcommittee, we don't want to be creating a city that can be identified in the future as a COVID-era development period. I'm not sure that I'm anywhere near close to being on board with entertaining the idea that the way to stimulate economic recovery in the city is to just turn a blind eye to setbacks in the HODL grid, as is suggested by the subcommittee, or to automatically extend all planning permits no matter what they are. Most of the recommendations, I think, are absolutely brilliant, but a big task for us this year will be adopting a new municipal planning strategy inside the Melbourne planning scheme, considering very carefully what the next planning scheme amendments and policy interventions into the centre of the city should be, making sure that they do continue to facilitate economic development and development of buildings in a way that don't inhibit the economy at all. But of course, we need to think about public safety and health when we do that as well. And just as we can point to the north end of Elizabeth Street and say, well, that comes from an era when we didn't have the right policy settings, and that's why bedrooms are built tower to tower with a couple of metres apart. We don't want to see the same sort of thing happening in the aftermath of a COVID-reduced recession either. So I'm overwhelmingly grateful for the recommendations of all of the subcommittees, including the Economic Infrastructure Subcommittee. I just look forward to the debate, if I can put it that way, for the best way to set those planning policy settings to make sure that we're building a healthy and safe and prosperous city for future generations, not one that only measures economic recovery and prosperity in terms of sale price of new buildings and the cost of construction at the point of construction. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Leppett. Any other speakers to the motion? I was just going to, again, and I'll be writing to everybody to say thank you to all those that participated if this motion gets approved. But I did want to express our gratitude, the fact that the experience and expertise provided by everyone who participated has been invaluable to our thinking, to the efforts of our teams and to outcomes that we can deliver in the community. The great thing about this board as well is that everybody's had that sense of skin in the game in terms of what's being delivered, and the report before us tonight really gives a sense of many of the initiatives that the advisory board has helped devise and then deliver, some of which have been delivered already. I know that there are more to come. One of the reflections is during COVID, we have seen unprecedented levels of cooperation across different tiers of government and also government to private sector and within private community and not-for-profit sector. So thank you very much for that cooperation, because we're going to need a lot more of it. The response to the economic hardship caused by the pandemic will require a concerted, combined effort over time, and the level of cooperation we've seen through the Economic Advisory Board sets the city up well for those ongoing efforts. So thank you very much. It is about bringing back the buzz, and these efforts have gone a long way to helping us achieve that. That's why I'll be supporting this motion. I'm going to put it to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you, everyone. That means we can move to item 6.2, which is the Melbourne City Recovery Fund. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item? No? Thank you. Well, look, I'm going to move the motion that is being considered this evening that we can see on the screen there. I'm looking for a seconder to that motion. Councillor Campbell, thank you. I'll speak to this motion. The Melbourne City Recovery Fund is an initiative that I was really proud to be able to discuss with our Premier, Daniel Andrews, and reach agreement. It's been absolutely central to kickstarting the City of Melbourne's recovery efforts. Through this fund, we've been able to support 1,379 small businesses. That's through the direct grant funding, and that funding totaled almost $10 million. That funding has really helped people keep their doors open during one of the toughest trading periods ever experienced here in Melbourne. Every bit of support that we can provide to local businesses at the moment helps keep Melburnians in jobs and helps business owners feel that they have some positive momentum for opening their doors again tomorrow. One of the most significant initiatives that this fund has helped us roll out in record time with enormous effort from our team has been the investment of $7.7 million in the outdoor dining program. It is a great example of us being a city of yes, of being able to help traders who have been some of the most impacted, and also has shown how central that the Melbourne City Recovery Fund has been to enabling and facilitating that program. The extra money for city cleaning, one of the elements of the survey work we've done as being absolutely vital for attracting particularly city workers back to the city, has also been enabled under the funding of the Melbourne City Recovery Fund. And we know that another important element of the Melbourne City Recovery Fund is helping us deliver more events that can attract visitors into the city, again, to reactivate our city economy for the benefit of local businesses. Our extended Melbourne Music Week has been possible. Urban Blooms is something we've never done before, has been possible. And the Street Feasts program, where I saw lots of people sitting out in front of the Melbourne Exhibition and Convention Centre on the weekend as part of that program, again, all funded through this fund. We want to be able to give Melburnians more reasons than ever before to return to city workplaces and to come and visit our city. We thank the Victorian Government for partnering with us on this initiative, and I know that there are still many initiatives and efforts to come that can be funded through this program. Acknowledge the effort of our team. The money is one thing, the efforts to actually implement those initiatives are another, so really acknowledge the hard work that's gone into bringing this Melbourne City Recovery Fund to life. It's hard work spending money sometimes, isn't it? But do appreciate those efforts. And we're using this Melbourne City Recovery Fund and the achievements from the various programs as ways of exploring further opportunities with our Premier and our Treasurer and other ministers in ways in which we can continue to work together to revitalise this city. For those reasons, I'm really happy to move this motion this evening, and over to you, Councillor Campbell, to speak to this motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. And can I echo your thanks to our team who have delivered the Melbourne City Recovery Fund. It is hard work spending money when you need to spend it well to have maximum impact. And I think we can proudly say that the hard work of our team has very much done that at such a critical time for our city. There are so many elements of this recovery fund that I'm very proud of, but the one that I'm probably most proud of is the support that it's provided to our small businesses across the city. It's clear across our strategy in spending these funds that we have tried to make it as easy as possible to do business in Melbourne. We've done that in many ways, but two that I'd like to draw attention to are our business concierge services that have provided advice and support to our small businesses, and they have had an incredibly high take up, over 11,000 outbound calls and over 8,000 inbound calls, over 3,000 of those related to extended outdoor dining, but many to so many other issues. I'm incredibly proud that the City of Melbourne has been able to provide that support to business owners that have been so hard hit over the last year. And another element of which I'm incredibly proud is the reduction on the burden of doing business in this city. We've been able to offset some of the costs of being COVID compliant through a series of fee waivers at a cost of $1.22 million. They were fee waivers to our outdoor cafes, for our extended outdoor dining permits, and for street trading. And that means that our businesses have been able to continue to operate in a COVID-safe way while reducing the impact on them and their bottom line at this incredibly difficult time. There is, however, so much work left to be done. And throughout 2021 and 2022, we will continue to use these funds to stimulate activity, including filling our vacant shop fronts. We know that we need to bring vibrancy back to the city, and we're excited about this next stage of the Melbourne City Recovery Fund. For all of these reasons, I'm proud to commend this motion.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. Are there other speakers to this motion this evening? Councillor Lippitt.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Can I just start by thanking you for helping to broker this fund in the first place? And to the CEO and our administration for doing the same, but also creating these programs to expend these funds so quickly and so effectively. It's exactly what we needed at a time that we needed it, and the ability of the organisation to work so quickly at such trying times is a testament to the professionalism and sheer hard work of our staff and everyone that's been contracted to work for, again, that shared purpose of helping Melbourne to recover and bringing people to the city. And I couldn't be prouder of the collective effort of the city to do that. And so my first word is a very big thank you. It's also very difficult to oversee such an unusually governed fund and framework like this over the course of a election cycle. This is the first time we've elevated reporting on the fund back up to council, and it's brilliant to see the detail here. So thank you again to officers for bringing that to us. I think the story that's told here serves us well and is important to keep those efforts going in future, because we're not out of the woods yet, and that relationship between the city and the state as we continue to guide Melbourne's recovery is going to be absolutely important. And as the report mentions, and as we know, March is going to be an incredibly difficult time for the city if some Commonwealth policy settings aren't adjusted in time. Let's very much hope that that advocacy continues to pay off and we can see some changes to JobKeeper, but also to JobSeeker, and the very disappointing announcement that came out yesterday, the potential for
poverty in the heart of our city, and the role of all levels of government to help to alleviate that couldn't be more stark right now. And so the challenge certainly hasn't gone away. But to everyone who is helping to rise to that challenge, as is indirectly reported through this report, thank you. It is such important work.
Thanks, Councillor Lippitt, for your comments. Any other speakers to the motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. We can move on to item 6.3, which is referred documents from the 4 December 2020 Audit and Risk Committee meeting. Would councillors like a presentation on this agenda item? Then I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion that appears on the screen. Councillor Lelou, thank you. And I'm calling on a councillor to second the motion. Councillor Hakim, thanks very much. Over to you, Councillor Lelou. Thank you.
Nothing really much to add, Lord Mayor, other than just to note the minutes from the Audit and Risk Committee. Given that the COVID environment, the risk appetite and discussion of risk is more appropriate, and I would encourage all my fellow councillors to have a read, and it's a good way to have a good understanding of a meeting that goes for around about 4 hours in the space of literally around about 30 minutes of paper reading. I also want to thank the independent audit members for their contribution, which is very valued and appreciated.
Thanks, Councillor Lou. Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Thank you, Councillor Lou. Audit and risk is such a critical part of good governance, and I'm happy to be part of this motion and move and commend councillors to move the minutes. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Hakim. Are there any other speakers on this motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thank you. We're moving on to item 6.4, which is Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program. It's the quarterly report. Councillors, would anybody like a presentation on this item, please? No, then I'm going to move the motion that appears there on the screen, and I'm looking for someone to second that motion, please. Councillor Campbell, thank you very much. I'm delighted to move this motion this evening. It's always fabulous to see progress on the Queen Victoria Market Precinct Renewal Program. We can note there that our total expenditure for the quarter was just over 50 million, or almost 51 if we put it that way. And that represents then enormous efforts at delivering the program. It's a reflection of solid progress against a project that we know was talked about for many years, and as a regular shopper at the market, nothing more delightful for me than speaking with traders and customers about what is being delivered and progress on the program, which is a completely different paradigm to what and envisions, etc. It's terrific to see that we're well into delivery mode, making solid progress, and we have a bumper year ahead in terms of delivering on that program, and I'm looking forward to it. Well done to the team. Keep up the great work, and with this sort of progress, we're going to feel that sense of renewal more than ever around this very, very important and beloved precinct. That's it from me. Over to you, Councillor Campbell. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I share your enthusiasm and excitement for this much-needed revitalisation and restoration of the market in a way that still maintains its energy and its vibrancy and authenticity.
And in addition to being pleased at the progress that has been made to date, there is one element that we are now moving into that I'm particularly excited about, and that is our Market Square, which is currently under development. This is going to mean a new 1.75 hectare public open space right in the heart of our city, and that's currently in development. And that is going to be incredibly exciting for all of our city residents who are looking for more open space, for our families, and we're pleased to be able to deliver that in a way that still means we're going to have ample parking, because we know so many people drive to the market. So we're ensuring that we'll have the opening of the 500 car spaces in the Munro development in the second half of 2021, so that visitors from across Melbourne can continue to visit the market, continue to visit traders who've been so hard hit by COVID, and we can revitalise the market in a way that means so many Melburnians can continue to enjoy it into the future. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Campbell. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Lelou, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I just wanted to say thank you to Jo, for the former staff, for her many years of work on there, and congratulate Roger, and welcome Roger in the role, which is going to be in one of what is considered the biggest project in the City of Melbourne, capital project work. I'm of the same. You know, it's amazing to see what whenever you walk through the market, the resilience and the people there is amazing. And again, it just reinforces why we're spending so much money investing in the market. For me, look, what I really, it's pretty amazing just to see every week the development of the Munro site. You know, a couple of us attended the topping out session, but more importantly, you know, the fact that, you know, 500, you know, the handover of the 500 space car park will be quite important, because that's one of the key things for Queen Victoria Market. But look, overall, it's great to see that we are on track. Hopefully that there's no more hiccup, and that we will be able to deliver one of the best market in the world here in Melbourne.
Thank you, Councillor Lelou. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Lippitt, thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Just briefly, I thought I'd do something incredibly rare and note that I think I disagree with Heritage Victoria. It's a slight shame that we didn't get the awning over the roof over the northern shed. I think that that would have been quite beneficial to the loading and unloading of goods. And given how high and low impact the roof was, I believed it was quite a sympathetic proposal in the context of some very significant heritage fabric in that state and nationally listed market that we have. Now, those are always controversial statements, which I'm sure will come back to bite me, but that's okay. I want to acknowledge that we have got heritage permits now for the trader and the northern sheds, and acknowledge the considerable amount of input from community through that process. Those proposals have changed as a result of that process, but that's the way the process is meant to work, and so it has. And construction is now free to proceed following the issuing of those permits. I just thought, given that we haven't had the opportunity before today to recognise that work, I wanted to thank officers for that work, but also note that the proposal is slightly different to what we asked for, and do that rare thing, which is to say, I think Heritage Victoria was slightly out on that one, but these things happen.
A special night indeed to hear those words from you, Councillor Lippitt. Thank you. Any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. Unanimous. Thanks, councillors. That is carried. Item 6.5 is the Quarterly Financial Performance Report and Budget. Councillors, would you like a presentation on this item? No, thank you. I'm looking for a mover for this motion. Thanks, Councillor Lelou. And a seconder, Councillor Rees, Deputy Lord Mayor. Over to you, Councillor Lelou. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd like to move just a bit of a slight change, removing 8.3 and has noted up on the screen. And I'm not sure if I need to second that because I think that was the original one. But I'll speak to it. Look, I just wanted to thank the team for providing us with all the details. Getting the budget and the financials is a very vital, important component for council because it means that we get to pay for a lot of the things that is important to our community. I note that one of the, I guess, most difficult periods or the period that we are the unknown is past, and it's great to hear that a lot of our rate collection has been going quite well, if within meeting and actually meeting budget, which is a great thing to hear because that was probably one of the key things that we were very worried about. And because of that, I really do want to thank, the constituents of Melbourne for, I've always believed that if you have the ability to pay or to be able to do things, then you should. But obviously, if you don't, then we have avenues or different channels to help you. But it's great to see the Melburnians coming forward and doing the right thing. And I know, look, it's very difficult out there. I note that especially for a lot of the landlords who will be paying a lot of the rates, it will be suffering and everything. So I want to acknowledge the fact that, they have, paid a lot of the rates, and that is something that is really important going forward for Melbourne. So, again, wanted to thank all those who pay the rates and also for those who haven't. But please, if you're able, please do. And if you're not able to, please look for assistance, and City of Melbourne will provide that for you.
Thanks, Councillor Lelou. Over to you, Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Can I echo my councillor colleague, Councillor Lelou, and just begin by thanking Michael Tanachi, our General Manager of Finance and Corporate and CFO, and the team. These are indeed unprecedented financial times for the City of Melbourne. You'd probably have to go back to the early 1990s and then probably back to the 1893 depression to find a set of numbers moving around as I was about to say wildly, but as significantly as we're now seeing here in the City of Melbourne following the impact of the COVID pandemic on activity in our city. And as this financial report shows, there are indeed some big movements there. Parking revenue moved down $27 million, lower statutory and other user fees moved by $9.6 million, and look, the full year impact of these is an adverse impact of over $100 million. So against that backdrop, it's really important that we continue to monitor the situation closely, and I can certainly speak for both myself and Councillor Lelou to say that we are indeed doing that, and we know that we've got a good team working on it. We've touched on this topic tonight, but we should also single out the MCRF stimulus from the state government, which has been a very important help to the City of Melbourne during this period. And once that is factored into our accounts, we are currently forecast of a full-year underlying deficit of $57.4 million. So, again, this is a situation that we'll continue to monitor carefully, particularly during this critical month of February. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Then I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks. We are up to item 6.6, which is the proposed discontinuance and sale of part of Riverside Quay Melbourne and sale of part of Riverside Quay Reserve. Councillors, would you like a presentation? No, thank you. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion, Councillor Leleu, and a councillor to second the motion. Deputy Lord Mayor, over to you, Councillor Leleu. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and I'll take the report as read, but look, in simpler form, essentially we're doing a land transfer it's going to be in the benefit of City of Melbourne. Essentially 296 square metres of City of Melbourne land will be transferred in exchange for an open space of around about 1,000 square metres. So we're coming out ahead in terms of where we are. I do note that it would be really interesting to see, the statue in front, which I think the Deputy Lord Mayor will potentially talk about, because it's a well-loved statue. But overall, this is a great deal for City of Melbourne, and I'm happy to support it.
Deputy Lord Mayor, over to you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Look, I have no hesitation in commending this recommendation to councillors. I can understand at first blush some people, particularly residents perhaps in South Bank, might wonder why the city was going about transferring 166 metre portion of Riverside Quay to a private interest, given especially the fact that South Bank is our most densely populated suburb. In fact, it's the most densely populated suburb in Australia, and every square metre, particularly along Riverside Quay, there counts. But, of course, there is a very, very good policy reason for that. The first is that if you actually look at this bit of land, it is on the full report, which is contained in the papers, which are publicly available online, you can see that it's a corner of the actual site and really serves no purpose in terms of pedestrian or vehicle movement through the precinct. More importantly, however, the transfer of that 166 metres of land allows for a more efficient development of the site, and more significantly again, is part of a broad agreement between the City of Melbourne and the developer, which will see around 1,000 square metres of land fronting South Bank Promenade become new open space that is vested in the council. And I just ask people to stop for a moment and reflect upon that. I mean, here we are in a city of over 5 million people. You don't get more prime real estate, I would put it to you, than absolute riverfront right in the heart of the city, down on South Bank there. But under this agreement, we're going to see that 1,000 square metres become new open space, new publicly accessible open space, which all Melburnians will be able to enjoy. And I think that's going to be a truly wonderful thing for the city. And I'm really, really looking forward to seeing the plans come forward and the design work to be done on that new park space for our city. So all things considered, this is a terrific transaction, and can't wait to see that new park emerge on the South Bank Promenade right in the heart of our city. Thanks, Lord Mayor.
Thank you. Are there any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Leppett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. Of course, I completely agree with Councillors Leleu and the Deputy Lord Mayor on that matter. From an environment portfolio perspective, the creation of new public open space, which will be new green public open space in the densest part of the City of Melbourne, is very welcome and exactly what our policy talks about. In the previous item, we saw some of the receipts come in for our open space restricted cash to put towards the creation, the purchase of new open space. This won't be the purchase of new open space, but we will eventually need to ensure that what's designed down there is of high quality, high standard. I do refer anyone who is interested in the in-principle decision that's already been taken to do this land transfer, as the portfolio lead has mentioned, to the meeting of the Future Melbourne Committee on the 13th of October. Again, it's tricky with the electoral cycle for the new councillors to be in this position, because we've kind of told them already that this is what we've in principle agreed to, and it would be very difficult now to say, well, we've already said it's fine to have more air rights for the development, but let's not take the open space. Of course, we're going to initiate this process now that we've advised the minister that this development should occur. But it was quite a hotly contested and interesting debate there on the 13th of October, which all South Bankers would have taken close interest in, and was quite widely reported in the local press as well. How we deliver open space and make sure that the design of South Bank retains its high quality, and the development envelope of buildings is maintained at a level that can be at least at some level predictable in the interests of existing landowners is an ongoing difficult balance to get right, and that debate is nothing if not interesting. But this motion before us today is certainly one that should be supported. We're creating new open space in South Bank.
Thanks, Councillor Leppert. Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you for the speakers. I just want to note that at the end of last year, we took away a little bit of space from South Bank, or a major space that's being used by community, and it's fantastic to see some space come into play in South Bank, and I do hope that we're able to create a high quality space that is green and does benefit the community in South Bank, and in consultation with what the community needs, and we look forward to engaging further with the community from our last discussion, and looking at how we can create more spaces within the South Bank community. And I'll be also voting in favour of this motion. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hakim. Any other speakers? I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks. Well, this concludes reports from management to be considered in open session this evening. There are no items of general business to be considered in this open session. It brings us to urgent business, and I am moving a motion that we consider and an item of urgent business this evening, and I'm looking for a seconder to that motion. Councillor Rees, Deputy Lord Mayor, thank you. In speaking to the motion, I note that the Victorian Government has foreshadowed that they'll make an announcement this Friday on the return to work restrictions, both caps and restrictions that exist in the workplace. We know here at the City of Melbourne that every single day is critical, and we need to act quickly to provide certainty for our businesses and the role that we can play in building that confidence as well. And that's why I'm moving that we meet the criteria for an urgent motion to be considered this evening. Deputy Lord Mayor, over to you as seconder for the...
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Not much to add on the issue of urgency, other than to agree with you that this is a critical decision week for Victoria on this matter, and so it's appropriate that this motion, the substantive motion, be considered tonight by councillors and we get a resolution on that. I plan to say more about the substantive motion when we get to it.
Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor. Any other speakers on this motion being considered as urgent? None? Then I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. That means that we can move on to look at the item being considered in urgent business this evening. I'm moving the motion that appears on the screen, and I'm looking for a councillor to second that motion. Councillor Chang, thank you very much. Councillors, as we know, pre-COVID, about 50% of our daily population comprised city workers. We know that our city businesses are absolutely crying out for the return of city workers, that for every city worker that returns to a workplace, it supports 5 jobs in retail, hospitality and community industries. This is significant and is something definitely worthy of our consideration this evening. Having workers return to city workplaces is an important step forward for our city economy and the many city business owners and their teams that have faced these tough trading conditions. We know that Melbourne's return of workers to city workplaces lagging behind other state capitals and Sydney in particular as a direct comparison. Property Council data shows that Melbourne's office occupancy rate returned to 31% in January. Anecdotally, we believe that has gone down again in February, but we're at almost, even on the January numbers, half the levels of workers returning to city workplaces than other capital cities around Australia. We love our city workers. We need our city workers. And this motion represents our endorsement as a council of the City of Melbourne leading the way for the return of our workers as important a part of the city worker population here in Melbourne. That, of course, we'd do that in consultation, we'd do that in a COVID-safe way, adhering to public health orders and other restrictions imposed by state government. Of course, we'll continue to support flexible work arrangements as we go forward, but recognising that the leadership we can show as an organisation and as individual workers, the importance of us being part, a vibrant and important part of our city economy is important. Another aspect of this motion that I wanted to highlight is that through our actions, we are encouraging other city employers to follow our lead, to make a commitment to the safe return of workers to their city workplaces as swiftly and as safely as possible. I'm really pleased to be moving this motion this evening, and I'm calling on Councillor Chang as seconder of the motion. Thank you.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, for putting forward this motion. With JobKeeper ending in March, there is huge economic uncertainty facing every small business in the city. As a small business and restaurant owner, I've lost over $100,000 due to the last lockdown over what would have been one of our busiest periods, being the Valentine's Day and Chinese New Year weekend. Business owners and myself are not looking for more government handouts. What we are looking for is the return of workers and people to the city. The best way for businesses and traders to recover is purely through the return of people to the city and back into their businesses and stores. The return of workers to the city is vital for the survival of businesses, and by the City of Melbourne committing to return its workers in a COVID-safe manner, this motion will hopefully give confidence and show leadership to other corporations and organisations to start bringing their own workforce back into the city. It takes overall effort and cooperation from all levels of government and organisations, large and small, to help revitalise and bring people back into the city to once again make it the vibrant Melbourne city that we all know and love. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Chang. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Campbell.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Chang and Deputy Lord Mayor, for bringing this really important motion to our attention today. Can I in particular draw attention to encouraging major employers, both private and public, to make the commitment to expedite the safe return of their employees to the city, and in particular, the public sector. The Victorian Government, as the employer of over 300,000 people in this state, many of whom are based, were based before COVID as their workplace in the City of Melbourne, has a vital role to play in the economic recovery of the CBD. I would strongly urge the state government in developing its proposed timeline for the increase in workplace caps to ensure that the caps for the public and private sector are in step. That is, any increase should apply to both equally. We shouldn't see that tiered approach we previously saw of 50% private sector, 25% public sector. It's critical to the recovery of our CBD that we have every worker back in the city, and there is no doubt the public sector workforce is a significant part of that. We saw in New South Wales the New South Wales government leading the return to the workplace through its public sector, and I would strongly encourage our state government to take the same lead. And in doing so, in encouraging the return of its workforce to ensure that those who are based in the city and were prior to COVID return to city workplaces, because our businesses need every one of those customers back through their doors as quickly as possible. For those reasons, I commend the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Campbell. We have a number of other speakers. I was going to go to Councillor Griffiths next. Thanks.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you, Councillor Chang, for your work in bringing together this motion. And I'd like to echo all of the sentiments that all the speakers so far have made about the importance of returning workers to the city for the businesses that make up the city. And we know that so much of the life of the city is driven by those businesses. I'm particularly glad that there's direct mention made in this motion of the importance of consultation with the workers and their representatives. I think that's an important part of role modelling best practice, which I know the city would have done even if it wasn't explicitly included, but I think it's important to note that we have explicitly included it in this motion and that we recognise that for many workers in the city, it's now been a very extended period of time that they've not been living the lives that they used to. And it's been a time that for them has created anxiety, and the importance of making sure that we work sensitively with them to ensure that it's a positive experience and one that they really genuinely welcome. Just as the motion says, we've noted that a significant majority of city workers do want to return, but we need to work with those workers and their representatives to maximise the positive experience for all people who are coming back in. For those reasons, I'll be supporting the motion.
Thanks, Councillor Griffiths. Other speakers to the motion? Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Lord Mayor. Look, it's self-evident to any person who is in the city that the circuit breaker lockdown has impacted significantly on the momentum of workers returning to city workplaces. As you cited, Property Council of Australia office occupancy rates shows that Melbourne does currently have the lowest rate of offices or people returning to the offices of the city. By comparison, Hobart, Adelaide, Perth, those capital cities all have office return rates of between sort of 60 and 80%. If you look at Sydney, it's around 45%. If you look at Melbourne, we're down at 30%, the lowest rate of people are returning to offices anywhere in the country. If you look at pedestrian activity in the city, as of today, pedestrian footfall is down 65%. From where it was back in 2019. So this is having huge, huge economic consequences for our city. We also know that this week the Victorian government, the Victorian Cabinet, will consider whether to increase the return to workplace cap for officers, and they'll also look at other restrictions relating to movement, density and other things. And so against that backdrop, this motion before us tonight is very, very important. We know that that in Sydney, the decision of the New South Wales government and the City of Sydney to encourage its employees to return to work has been a significant factor
in getting people back into the central city and has provided a very, very important boost to the city economy. In New South Wales, we've seen Premier Gladys Berejiklian lead the charge for the return to work, to return to offices of workers, as she's required that to occur with New South Wales public servants. At the City of Sydney, they are requiring people to return to work a minimum of 3 days per week. And so what we're seeing in this motion before us tonight is Council endorsing the commitment by our CEO, Justin Hannay, who's with us tonight, to a return to work plan for the workforce of the city. We know that this will have a big impact on the city because we know that people who work in the category of public administration and safety are one of the most significant categories of workers in this city. There is over 47,000 people who work in the City of Melbourne who fit the category of public administration. So we think we can do our bit here at the City of Melbourne as a major employer in the City of Melbourne, in fact, a major employer in Greater Melbourne. And we call on other employers, both private and public, including the Victorian Government, to do the same. And we call on both public and private employers to equally commit to that return to work. I should say, in terms of city workers, our trains have never been cleaner. They've currently got a 37% occupancy rate, so you'll definitely get a seat. And so in terms of getting to work each day, there's never been a better time to return to work in the city. But probably more significantly than that, Lord Mayor, it is time for the office workers of Melbourne to kick off the doona and get back to work. It will benefit them, it will benefit their workplace, and it will benefit our city. We are humans after all, and nothing is better than face-to-face contact. More broadly, beyond the benefits to the workers, beyond the benefits to their workplaces, this will be the single most important thing that can be done to deliver the economic revival of our city. Government handouts are much needed and are very welcome, but at the end of the day, government handouts cannot replace business profit, and for the businesses to be profitable again, we need the people to come back, and that is something that can safely occur. I could go on and on, but I think I won't, other than to just remind people that there are huge benefits in terms of collaboration, creativity, innovation and morale from returning to work. So, as I said, it's time for the office workers of Melbourne to kick off the doona and get back to work.
Thanks, Deputy Lord Mayor. Just noting, even if they've had their doona on, they have been working, and it's important that they come back to workplace. And I think we're all agreed on that. Thank you. Any other speakers to this motion? Councillor Hakim.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I'd also like to speak to this motion. I think it's really important to recognise that the way that offices operate has changed. This has had such ramifications for the community of businesses and workers who support and are built around that environment, as we've heard, and we know how much this has been affected, and I'm sure this in time will change and adapt. We have now such a broader arsenal of ways of working, but we are also now missing the collaboration environment and connection, that sense of belonging that only comes through human interactions. There's such a great deal of discussion and evidence emerging around a 3-2-2 pattern to support that coming back, or even greater. So that's depending on people's positions. So that's 3 days in the office, 2 days working from home in a 2-day weekend. And I think that's something that will continue to be a discussion in workplaces. In my own workplace, we have initiated safe returns to work for our essential workers and returning other workers in line with government directives and within our COVID safe plans. So I know that once colleagues are back and get over that initial anxiety of leaving the house, and particularly for those who have been leaving for dinner and getting out now as we're allowed to, they are delighted to be able to again interact directly with colleagues. This has such an impact on well-being, on mental health, on the ability of organisations to be more effective to do their work. So it is critical that in returning, though, to remember when we return to offices and returning workers to the city, all businesses ensure strong COVID safe plans and to consider introducing new hybrid ways of working, collaborating and engaging. And I refer everybody to some of our business support through the Business Helpline for Small Businesses, through the Business Concierge and other resources on the DHHS website as well. For these reasons, I will be supporting the motion and I welcome workers back into our city. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Hakim. Other speakers to the motion? Councillor Liu.
Thank you, Lord Mayor, and thank you for putting, thank you to yourself and Councillor Chang and also to Deputy Lord Mayor for moving the urgency. I think this is a great, you know, on top of many things, you know, bring back workers, office workers is one of the key things that we need to do to revitalise the CBD. We also have to, on top of, for example, bringing back students and bringing back events, but obviously bring back the office workers, which is a key component of driving a majority of our hospitality, restaurants and other business. Is very, very crucial, and more so than ever, you know, I hope Victorian, just like Councillor Campbell mentioned, hopefully Victorian government will lead its way by getting the public sector back in. I think for me, you know, look, personally, you know, I think we really do need to hold the Victorian government to account. I think it's been very disappointing with the snap lockdown that has happened over the... And I think, you know, it's great that we can bring all the welfare workers, but at the end of the day, they really need to, you know, have that at the back of their mind that, you know, yes, we will bring people back and everything, but that doesn't mean anything if you just snap lockdown in what is one of the busiest periods in the city. Over the weekends, you see people destroying roses, getting rid of food and everything. So the Victorian government really do need to consider not only just, you know, just saying bringing the workers back in place, but also the different, the mechanism and also the way they conduct and make decisions. I'm happy to support this because, you know, it's a no-brainer, and I hope more and more. My only concern is, you know, when JobKeeper, you know, finishes in March, I really hope that there are actually still workers able to return, because I'm really scared the amount of business that actually will not be able to keep people in their business and actually get them to return. You know, this would have been, that's one of the things really lingering on the back of my mind, but hopefully that can really resort itself. But again, you know, this is something that the state and federal government really need to work together on. This is no time for politics. This is real leadership and action. You know, the state government can really help by, you know, enforcing all the things that the Lord Mayor and Councillor Chan have just put up there. But really, the state government, federal government really need to come together in what is going to be the most crucial and critical time of whether or not Melbourne is successful in the future.
Thanks, Councillor Lowe. Any other speakers to this motion? As the mover, just to note, there's been good indications of support and to reiterate some of the comments that we know, the commitment of the CEO, the executive leadership team and our people and culture team to engaging with our workforce, and then I feel so confident that our workers who have that deep understanding of our city have seen what city businesses have gone through over the last 12 months in particular, and a good sense of empathy and support that will motivate that safe and swift return to city workplaces. So with that, I'm going to put the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. Thanks, councillors. Well, this brings us to closure of the open meeting this evening. I'm calling on a councillor to move the motion displayed on the screen. Thank you, Deputy Lord Mayor, and Councillor Griffiths seconding that motion. I'm putting the motion to the vote. All those in favour, please raise your hands. It's unanimous, so we can declare that motion carried. That means that we will be closing the meeting to the public so we can consider confidential items of business. Thank you so much for your interest and attendance in the meeting this evening, and I'm declaring the open meeting closed at 6:40 p.m. Thank you.